According to RMB's milk index released today, the rand is trading close to fair value. Now, the milk index is similar to the Economist magazine's Big Mac index, but uses the price of milk to gauge whether currencies are priced at their correct or fair level. Neville Mandimika, who's economist and strategist at RMB, joins me now with more of an overview. Thanks so much, Neville, for your time this evening. So the rand, in fact, slightly overvalued at about 17.26 against the greenback right now. It should be trading at 17.36, and by these metrics, a far way away from where the latest Big Mac index has it undervalued by 62% pre-COVID. What have you made of the results that have filtered through?
Yeah, so I think it's important to realize that the Big Mac index, I think that was last updated back in January before the whole COVID pandemic. And then since then, I think emerging market currencies, the rand included, have weakened quite dramatically, obviously in response to the sort of risk-off environment that we've been in over the last couple of months. So it's been quite an interesting set of results that we saw in the latest iteration of the milk index, where there have been a few surprises, but at the same time, we've seen some confirmations. For example, the Nigerian naira overvalued and the Zambian kwacha undervalued. So there are some huge extremities within this particular ranking that we've seen. But I think a lot of it confirms what we intuitively know, in a sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you say, where COVID-19 has worked to severely weaken most African currencies, so it'll certainly be interesting to see where the Big Mac index has the rand now. But as far as it being deemed close to value at this point, Neville, how much economic fundamental risk is being priced in here, or could things spiral quite quickly?
Yeah, look, I think if we look at the sort of geopolitical environment in the global economy at large, I think it's still littered with a whole lot of risks on the horizon, more so outside the borders of South Africa than domestically, in the sense that soon we'll be in this movie where we'll be talking about U.S. elections, and that's going to be an important consideration. Brexit remains front and center. We've got issues such as U.S.-China tension. So all of these factors will probably drive a lot of the volatility that we'll see in not only the rand, but a lot of the African currencies going forward. So we'll probably see some big moves between now and in December 2020.
Yeah, and it's key, Neville, because one wonders why something like the Egyptian pound, for example, sits in the same boat, with Egypt having gone into the crisis on a significantly better growth and fiscal footing than South Africa.
Yeah, so I think the difference in terms of the macroeconomic environment in South Africa and in Egypt is about as wide as the geographic distance between those two countries. So it is a little bit concerning that South Africa went into this with sub 1% growth outlook, worse now given the COVID crisis. But I think it underscores the importance of having your fiscal buffers in place, which is what we saw in Egypt and some of the other African countries. Sorry. So that then informs the degree to which your currencies then weaken from here on in. So I think the lessons are there to be learned, that fiscal footing cannot be understated, particularly in an environment where we're seeing a lot of black swan events or a lot of unexpected risks that we have to price in.
Why this is all significant, Neville, is because it influences investment strategy to a large extent. How do you see this impacting investment decisions around hedging of foreign exchange exposure?
Look, I think it's a point of departure in terms of this particular debate, because a lot of South African companies, for example, still have exposure across the continent, not only companies but also fixed investments and portfolio investments. And I think it's important to always have an eye on how much currencies could move, because that could be the difference between profitability and loss, simply because on those FX gains. So if you look at Nigeria, 182% overvalued. I mean, that's quite a significant amount of risk that you have to bake into the investment horizon. So I think it underscores the importance of ensuring that you manage FX risk, or at least are aware of how much FX risk one is actually carrying into their investments.
Let's leave it there, Neville. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, Neville Mandimika from RMB.